They're the second team in the biggest city, but they're having quite a season. In fact, they're the only team in their division, as we're approaching the one-quarter mark, that has a winning record. And we haven't seen a Mets team like that since, oh yeah, last year. Well, Ryan Finkelstein of Locked On Mets is here. We're having ourselves a crossover. It's Locked On MLB.
You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. Thanks so much for making us your first listen, as we're available on all your free podcasting catchers. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. If you're watching me on the YouTubes, you can see right there. You can just, please, it's for everyone's benefit. Call me Sully. We are available on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pod. Same handle for Instagram. You see right down there, if you want to follow me on Twitter, and that's probably the best place to reach me, even if you're a relative. Follow me at Sully Baseball, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Be sure to check out all the great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Mets with Ryan Finkelstein, who has been a guest on this podcast for several times over the years. And every year, I think we're going to be talking about good things. And every year, the Mets have just got a Met. But do you know what? This Mets team feels a little bit different. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm amazed at the way you love me all the time. But do you know what? Maybe it's time to bring Ryan Finkelstein onto the crossover. Hey, oh, let me get rid of my lower third. Boom, there I have a much, I was going to have a much bigger lower third. Mine was a lower half. Holy cats. But how you doing, Ryan?
Doing great right now. This Mets team has given me a lot of positive things to talk about this year. You actually did scar me a little bit in your intro there talking about last year, because I remember, oh, wait a minute. I guess we were having a very similar conversation a year ago where I'm sure I was on Locked On MLB saying some of the same things, but it's a different cast of characters, particularly the manager, Buck Showalter, some of the star players, Max Scherzer and others. I think this year's finally different, Sully. I think this might finally be the year that, if nothing else, the Mets win the National League East.
Okay, so let us review. When we last left off the Mets, they were in first place by themselves. I'm at baseballreference.com, the single greatest website in the history of the planet Earth. They were in first place by themselves as late as August 5th, okay? And they were tied for first place as late as August 13th. So on August 13th, they were... not only did they have a winning season, they were in first place and they were tied with Philadelphia, I believe, not even Atlanta.
Yeah.
And let's just take from that moment, we're like, hey, it's mid-August. We're tied for first place. How bad can things get? Well, after that moment, the Mets went 17-29 and finished with a losing record, which was surreal for a team that was in first place by themselves. But you know what? I do think, look, I know some people poo-poo the importance of a manager, and sometimes, you know, the fact that Bob Brenly has as many managerial World Series titles as Earl Weaver kind of drives home that point. That being said, I think having someone like Buck Showalter at the helm of this team, he's the right person for it. They've tried the inexperienced manager route, and now they have the guy who has had success wherever he's landed and has for a while was a Johnny Appleseed of pennants. In fact, if Nelson Cruz had timed his leap a little bit better, then three of the teams he managed, he would have left and they would have gone on to win the World Series. I think the only thing missing from Showalter's resume is a World Series title. And my God, I thought he was going to get it in 2014 when they got swept by Kansas City in the ALCS. He was the manager of Baltimore. But here he is in New York. I think he's the right guy for the job. I think he's the right guy for the media. He's the right guy. He respects the players. The players respect him. And he strikes me as someone who also respects the times. He has this old school type manager reputation, but he seems to embrace a combination of analytics and common sense thinking, which is, you know, putting together a pretty decent season for the Mets so far.
100%. I think that they had a graphic the other day on the broadcast where they were talking about, you know, starting relievers back-to-back days or pitching them back-to-back days. And in years past, at this stage of the season, there's already been 30-plus guys that had done that. And this year, it was something like 13. So it's little things like the way he manages his bullpen, the way you see him kind of attack a doubleheader, the way he maybe at times at the end of a series will put his D team out there when it comes to the pitchers that he uses, knowing that he already has a series in hand and thinking about the next series the Mets are going to play. This is a team that early in the season has really shown a lot of grit in these games where even, you know, like their final game against the Mariners over the weekend, they fall behind by 3 runs on multiple occasions, and they're within a check swing by Pete Alonso away from tying that game late. I just think he has this team believing and, really just executing and making sure that they focus on themselves and handling all their opportunities where there's 27 outs in the game. And if you get up in the ninth inning, your team's down by 4, don't think about the fact that you're down, but think about getting a hit. So I just really think that he has this team firing in all cylinders. And I definitely think that compared to the team last year, with Buck at the helm, I don't think they will be as susceptible to going through these like prolonged slumps because I think that their manager is going to keep them in check.
Here's one thing I think is interesting about the fact that the full disclosure for those of you who are, you know, listening or watching, the Mets are playing right now as we're recording this. But as of this recording, we're recording this on Wednesday afternoon here in Los Angeles, here in my classroom. As you can see, I'm recording this from my classroom. I'm taking you to school, Ryan. The Mets are, with some of the disappointments they have in the offense, with some of the injuries they've had in the pitching staff, they're 10 games over 500. And I think it is a great sign for the Mets that they're 10 games above 500 and they haven't had a productive or a consistently productive Lindor or Escobar yet. And they've gotten virtually nothing out of the catcher position. And they've gotten some great work by Drew Smith. They got some great work from Diaz, but some of their other relievers have been a little hit or miss. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that this is not a team that's been firing on all cylinders. This is not a team that hasn't been susceptible to, you know, some big swings and misses and not getting the big. I mean, Dom Smith has gotten some big hits, but he's also, you know, his OPS is under 6. But I think it's a sign that you know that some of these players' production is going to come up.
Yeah.
You know some of these players are going to start swinging the bat. You know some of these pitchers are going to start pitching well. And so, you know, with that in mind, I think that fares well for the Mets.
I think so, too. And when I said fire on cylinders, I meant it more along the lines of, you know, the fact that they hadn't lost a series until this weekend. And I think that's really the thing that I've harped on a lot on my show is, they started off 14-5. And you're not going to play, you know, 750 winning percentage baseball all year. No one wins 120 games. So I think that it's just a matter of they do take things one series at a time. And they found a way to win most of their series that they've played. Sometimes it's ugly, but they're getting the job done. And really, I think that the basis of all of it is they've just gotten great starting pitching this year, and that's going to help everything. When you have Max Scherzer and Chris Bassett, the two big offseason additions, both pitching, you know, at the peak of their powers at the moment. Carlos Carrasco has had a pretty good bounce back, even though he had a rough start his last time out. The first month of the season, Tyler McGill pitched like DeGrom when he never should have. Like, it was a remarkable string of success. I don't know if they'll get anything like that again from McGill this season, but getting a month of that helped them jump off to that great start. So I just think with really that top three that I mentioned with Scherzer, Bassett, and Carrasco, and DeGrom's looming return, I would imagine closer to the All-Star break, but that's where this team really can separate themselves from some of the other teams in the National League.
I'm going to get to that. I want to talk to you a little bit about the holding back of DeGrom, but if they have, with this pitching staff, the way they've been going, they add to it even DeGrom at 70%, then all of a sudden the Mets look like the surest bet to win that division. If you're going to make any bets, Go to BetOnline. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, sports developments, including this year's NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball fights, even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. And hey, thanks so much for making Locked On MLB your first listen. Your second listen, that's Locked On Mets. Come on, who are we kidding? For the next listen, your third listen, as you are lining up your podcast for the day, check out the Locked On Now podcast. Recaps of baseball games with analysis from our local experts. Analysis was the word I wanted to say, and I said analysis. From our local experts, taking fans through the season like no other network, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, Ryan Finkelstein of Locked On Mets, you're in the middle of a crossover. Did you realize that?
I do now. I know now. Yeah, yeah. I know. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, that's why I'm here. The Mets kind of remind me of every once in a while you see a team that says, we just got to push our chips to the center of the table right now. We saw that with the Red Sox in 04. We saw that with the Cubs in 16. And those are two instances where it worked. There have been other instances where it didn't work. But there comes a point where they're like, we got to just do this, folks. We have to win something now. The Mets know that, you know, this is a chance to get the fan who's teetering between the two New York teams to put a great product on the field, get back to the World Series, which they, you know, of the two New York teams, they're the only New York team to have played in a World Series in the 2010s. They want to get back there. And so every move they seem to make in the offseason seemed to be based upon, we just got to win right now. It doesn't matter. 3 or 4 years from now are irrelevant. Because if you're a Met fan, and you win the World Series, your team wins the World Series, Met fans can't shut up about the two teams that won the World Series, 1969 and 1986. You almost need to have another championship, because we've run out of books to read about 1969. And what did Ed Hearn write a book about the 86 World Series? Did Tim Tuffle write one? Every member of the 86, you're right in the bench with Ed Hearn. Seeing 86 Mets from the pine. Like, I mean, what, you know, I mean, it's too many books written about that. And so if for no other reason, I can imagine, were you old enough for 86 or no?
No, but I'm literally a product of 86. My dad says greatest year of his life, Mets win the World Series, Giants win the Super Bowl. He meets my mom. So I've heard about 86 my entire life, that I feel like I was there, but I was not.
But here's the thing though, you weren't. And there's a whole generation of Met fans who are like, enough with the 86, where's ours? Where is ours? And so, you know, the Mets have to do this. And so when they took a look at this offseason, he's like, well, we need a manager. Showalter's available. We need some more pitching depth. Scherzer's available. Bassett's available. We need, let's bring in Canna. Let's just keep bringing in people to beef it up. And yet, the single most important piece of the Mets puzzle is lowercase d Grom. Because when he took the gas pipe last year, I don't know if it was exactly when things started spiraling out of control, but it certainly didn't help matters that the best pitcher of the world is sitting on the shelf. And then the Mets go from, hey, we're in first place to ourselves, to, well, you know, maybe we'll get a decent draft pick out of this season. And so with their pitching being so good this year, I think it's really smart that they're not rushing DeGrom back, that you want to have DeGrom at full strength, you know, in the September run, and for Met fans, hopefully October.
I think so too. And what Steve Cohen did by giving Max Scherzer that somewhat absurd, but obviously contra is paying out for them right now, the $130 million deal over 3 years, and giving him the highest ever average annual value contract, was it bought them the ultimate Jacob DeGrom insurance. You can get through the regular season with Max Scherzer. He's done it before in this division. leading rotations. And I think we're seeing that right now. And so Jacob deGrom is absolutely where the ceiling of this team lies, where I think you need to make sure that whatever you have to do to get this guy healthy for that stretch run to be pitching to close out a division title, and then into October, you got to do so. Right now, he's dealing with that scapula injury. They've said the MRIs are clean. It's healing up nicely. They're not going to have him throw off of a slope for a while. They're still stretching him out. They're going to take it probably a foot at a time, lengthening it out a mile per hour at a time before they even let him pitch off of a mound. And I imagine that when he does start to make rehab starts, they're going to go an inning at a time. He'll do a one-inning start, a two-inning start, that just slowly but surely. I don't expect to see him until after the All-Star break. I know the optimistic side is that you could see him at the end of June, but
no,
you can't. To me, the first home start after the All-Star break, that's when Jacob deGrom should make his return if everything goes well. And you get, 11 starts out of him, whatever it is, to close out the season, get him into mid-season form. And it could be the biggest blessing in disguise, because you could get the absolute peak power version of Jacob deGrom, who's not tired at all when you do get to October.
Well, I think this is one of the benefits of running up a lead like this. And you made a great point in the first segment that one of the things the Mets are doing really, really well is making sure they win series. If you come in, you got a 3-game set, make sure you get 2 of them. That's playing 600 ball if you're doing that. And that allows you, especially when you see that Philadelphia can't really get out of their own way. The Braves are off to a disappointing start, but we all saw last year that they're capable of putting on the aft thrusters. The Nats are rebuilding, and the Marlins are just a weird team. They have some great pitching. And Pablo Lopez, I thought Alcantara was going to be their ace. Pablo Lopez is right, the 25% mark of the season, has to be in the Cy Young conversation the way he's pitching in Miami. And yet, they're still losing a bunch of 2-1, 3-2 games. This is the luxury. You're right. You made a great point that Scherzer is the luxury for allowing DeGrom to be healthy and just take 2 out of 3 for these series and put yourself in a position where you're not giving back those, you're not letting it sort of creep. If you keep winning, creep back down, and a big lead becomes smaller and smaller and smaller, start to put a little distance on there. And, especially if you're playing interdivision games, you got to put the foot on the throat. You can't allow them to dust themselves off and have that bit of confidence. I was thinking a little bit about when you were bringing up, Scherzer. He's undoubtedly going to go to the Hall of Fame. Yeah. He's one of the greatest. One of the greatest free agent signings of all time is the Nationals signing Scherzer. That was one of the most successful free agent signings in history. And boy, good work, Arizona, trading him away. you wouldn't want him on your team. Miller Thomas is host of Locked On Diamondbacks, where they talk about what could have been if Max Scherzer stayed on the Diamondbacks. But he is going to be part of, I was thinking about this as you said this, I'm going to do some of this from memory. Scherzer is going to join these Hall of Famers. I'm just doing this off of memory, so there are probably more to be added into this. But these Hall of Famers: Ricky Henderson, Frank Robinson, Jim Thome, Juan Marichal. Oh, there's probably one or two others, but Scherzer. I don't think Greg Maddux qualifies, but he kind of does in a way. But those five off of the top of my head: Ricky Henderson, Jim Thome, Frank Robinson, Juan Marichal, Max Scherzer. What did they all have in common and will have in common once Scherzer gets elected to the Hall of Fame?
I really don't know. You got me stumped here.
When fans see all of their plaques, they will say, when did he play for the Dodgers? Actually, you could say that about Maddux as well, because Maddux had 2 stints with the Dodgers. But all those players I just listed played 1 season with the Dodgers, or half a season.
That's right.
And you're like, Jim Thome was with the Dodgers?
It's incredible you say that. I've already started to forget that Scherzer was on the Dodgers last year. Yeah. You're right. It's 100%.
Frank Robinson was on the Dodgers? Yeah. Ricky Henderson was on the Dodgers?
I got one.
Juan Marichal was on the Dodgers?
Manny Machado was on the Dodgers.
Yeah. If Manny makes it to the Hall of Fame, yeah, he has the his lone highlight is striking out to Chris Sale to end the World Series. Scherzer did get the save in the series against San Francisco on the check swing that everybody is still screaming about in the Bay Area. That was called third. And, you know, it was Giant fans who had a great season last year. And there were so many great games between the Giants and the Dodgers, the two best teams, and have it end on a check swing like that is just stinks. It just stunk. I mean, if it was a swing and a miss or a home run, that's great. But in check swing, and like Giant fans are like, well, you know, that was it? That was it? And like, and I'm thinking, what can I do to comfort my friends? My many friends who are Giant fans. And all I got to do is say, grab a Built Bar. Look at this, what I have right here. I got the birthday cake Built Puff. Huh? It's your pal Sully's birthday over the weekend. I turned the big 5-0, which means that in past years, the Mets would assign me to a long-term deal. But not this year. I got this right here. It's gluten-free, and it's got only 150 calories. And it's got, only 9 grams of sugar, 3 grams of fat. And what do we got for protein on this baby here? It was 16 grams of protein. Huh? That's not too bad. Compare that to a candy bar, which is a candy bar. They got they also have the collagen protein. Now, let me tell you something. As a graduate of Washington State University, I've learned a lot about collagen protein. That's part of the reason why I earned my degree on this. Let me tell you, the body absorbs it better than non-collagen protein. I think you already knew about that. But there's got so many great flavors. This tasted like a damn birthday cake. And this is what I had. When I went out to dinner, they brought out a Built Bar, put a candle in it, I blew it out, and I said, you know what? No need for my wish. I already got my wish. It was a Built Bar, Built Puffs, a birthday cake Built Bar. But there's so many other flavors. Hey, Ryan, what's your favorite one?
I like the Churro Puff, actually. The Churro Puffs are delicious.
Churro Puffs. Yes, very good. My favorite is still the raspberry that's covered in chocolate. Because I'm telling you, this is really high up there. So go to Built.com, use promo code LOCK15, and get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. Doing a crossover. That's Ryan Finkelstein right over there if you're watching on the YouTubes. Now, by the way, let's just take a quick peek to see how the Metropolitans are doing as we record this. Let's see. Drum roll, please. And the score is, it's tied at 2. But here's the deal. Man. When you're listening to this podcast, you already know what has happened. Now, I had mentioned that this is the kind of year where all the chips were pushed to the center of the table. And I guess with that in mind, this is kind of designed to be a do or die year, like winning the division or getting to the NLCS or maybe even getting to the World Series really may not be enough for this Mets team. This is a team that is like, we are going to have it be 1969, 1986, 2022. And good Lord. I mean, that would be such a proverbial monkey off the shoulders of this franchise. But it's also, remember, when you have new ownership coming in, like what happened when the Red Sox were bought by Henry and Company, like what happened with the Dodgers when the McCourts were bought out by the group that was fronted by Magic Johnson. The idea of we're turning the page from that nastiness, that's all gone. That would make them I honestly think a Mets championship would be just gigantic in the city because there's so many Met fans would be able to have that exultation of relief.
Yeah, it's the amount of pressure on this team is immense right now. And I think that, again, as we sort of get back to the additions that they made to win now, to have a Scherzer, to have a Buxton kind of leading that group, I think that maybe will allow them to manage those expectations and kind of harness that pressure properly. But there is just incredible amount of pressure. And really, I think it really falls on Steve Cohen's shoulders a lot as the ultimate Mets fan who, really has an emotional tie to this fan base and wants to deliver that to them. And I don't think that it'll be a one-off. I think that this is a Mets team that's going to continue to try to contend every single year, and Cohen will certainly be spending to do so. But I mean, he put together a near $300 million payroll. That was not to just win the NL East. That was to win a World Series. And so far, so good, but it's a very long marathon.
Yeah. Yeah. There are certain people in baseball that I would like to see win their ring. I know he's the manager of the Astros, and we're all supposed to hate the Astros, but I want to see Dusty Baker be a World Series winning manager. I do want to see Bob Melvin be a World Series winning manager because he kept taking teams to the playoffs despite on paper having no business being there. And a manager like that deserves to have at least one title as a manager. You know, obviously there's some stars. I would love to see Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani get their rings. Not that I'm an Angels fan, but hey, it would be they're the biggest. They should be the faces of baseball. Well, Showalter deserves a title. I mean, he had the 1994 Yankees ripped from underneath him with the strike, and the team that he essentially helped rebuild win the title the year he left. The Diamondbacks win the title the year after he left. I mean, it's sort of there's a cruelty to Showalter's postseason legacy that it's amazing that all he needs to do is win a title, and he's in the Hall of Fame. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's in the damn Hall of Fame when you consider what he has done. And to be able to do that and to do that in New York would make him just this beloved figure for all time.
Yeah, it's a story that's kind of writing itself where it would make a lot of sense and be very fitting for him to get that ring in New York. And you can envision him, you know, at a championship parade and how much it would mean to him. So obviously as a Mets fan, I'm rooting for it. Like I said, there's a lot that has to happen, but I do think that with all of that in mind, this is a team that's going to remain aggressive. I would not be surprised if they dealt some prospects at the deadline midseason this year. And they did a lot of different things to try to make sure that they didn't leave any stone unturned here. But when you talk about their World Series hopes, I think it really does hinge on that DeGrom element to it and just this idea that you can go into any playoff series and have DeGrom and Scherzer both get two starts in a seven-game series. You feel pretty good about the Mets' chances this year.
All right, so let's make you the general manager of the Mets. You look at the Mets right now. Now, I have a thing. It's called the Memorial Day checkup. That Memorial Day is unofficially the one-third mark of the season and really when summer begins. And I think when you look at teams, I have what I call the summer score. I do the summer score, which every day you're in a playoff spot after Labor Day. There's a point, you get a point. It's an extra point in July, an extra point in August, an extra point in September. You know, if you're in a playoff hunt late in the year, then it builds up the score that I give you, because I believe a baseball team's job is to entertain their fans in the summer. That's the job of it. It isn't always to win a title. Okay, but that being said, I think that Memorial Day is really the first day that you can say, all right, what do we need? What do we need as a team? And I think the second checkpoint is the August 1st, trade deadline. The August 1st, when you look up and say, okay, we got 2 months, we're in the home stretch now. So whatever we have now, this is the team. Now, when you look at the team as it's constituted right now, as we're recording this, what do you think is its biggest glaring need? And what do you think they should they try to wait it out? Should they reach into the farm? Or is there a blockbuster midseason trade that the Mets should be entertaining?
The one that I have my eyes on currently that I believe I'm going to do an episode on probably this week is trading for Wilson Contreras. James McCann just went on the IL. He has a broken bone in his hand. As a catcher, that's a little important. It's going to take, they said, 6 weeks, but that's an injury that, you can really easily re-aggravate if you rush that rehab. And so I think if the Mets were to right now make a trade for Contreras, well, now they have their starting catcher for the remainder of the year. We know they've gotten next to no offensive production from that position. So I think that that's the rental that just makes a ton of sense for this Mets team, because you have Francisco Alvarez after the graduations of Allie Rushman and some others. Like, he's probably going to be the top catching prospect in baseball heading into next season, and he could debut next season. So I don't think this would be a trade where you're thinking about Contreras catching for you for the next 5 years, but he is a player that will hit free agency. If the Cubs don't have plans to retain him, I'd be calling them right now and trying to get a deal done so that you don't roll out currently the tandem of Tomas Nito and Patrick Mazika, get you through this period. And also, if you could find a way to get like a David Robertson in that trade as well and address your bullpen, it'd be an absolute home run for this Mets team. A prospect I would send out is Aronnie Mauricio. He's a guy that has a lot of promise, but he's still a little bit away. I could also see a piece like JD Davis be enticing for the Cubs as a guy that maybe doesn't quite fit the Mets, but for a team like the Cubs where he can get full playing time, he could, you know, see a little bit of a bounce back and maybe get his career on track. So that's a trade that I'm really looking at right now. When I look at their needs overall, I think that it's catcher is the one position on the field that makes the most sense that they would address. Other than that, maybe third base if Eduardo Escobar continues to struggle, or just getting a better bat for that DH slot. And then I think the rotation is fine, but any good team can use more arms in the back of their bullpen.
Right. I think that's I think catcher is a good call. I also think that maybe having another veteran hitter to come off the bench or to platoon or to, you know, to relieve Lindor or Escobar if they're in a, you know, to have someone who can play multiple positions, you know, the way that Zobrist was. I don't have a candidate right now, and maybe the one will rear its ugly head, but I do think having like a super sub would go a long way for the Mets to, you know, to ride some cold, you know, to be able to get around some cold streaks and to keep some people fresh.
The one thing I will say is they do have the luxury with Jeff McNeil that if they were to get a third baseman, a second baseman, whatever it might be, he does have the flexibility to be that super sub guy. Right now, he's been pretty entrenched at second base and getting some time in left as well. But that just does free them up that if they were to get a big veteran bat to be the DH or the third baseman or even the second baseman, McNeil does give them that flexibility right now.
Well, you give me a lot of flexibility by being so dang good on our Locked On crossover. Hey, Ryan Finkelstein, where can people follow your show?
So they can find Locked On Mets wherever you find Locked On MLB and on YouTube as well. You can follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. You can find some of the writing I do over at justbaseball.com.
And you can find us at Locked On MLB Pods. Same handle for Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. If you're watching on the YouTubes, you see that I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Doing a crossover with Ryan Finkelstein. Dare he be optimistic about the Metropolitans? Dare he open his heart? I think you should. Dare to love. Dare to love. This has been the Locked On crossover for the 19th day of May. Would have been my dad's birthday. Happy birthday, Poppy. Wherever you're watching us, this has been Locked On MLB. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.